both a positive and in a negative sense. If I were to say that, you know, my wife is a woman of character, you would understand that to be a very positive thing. But if I said that my boss was a real character, you would understand that that was not necessarily a positive thing. And so we can use character in both a positive and a negative sense, but it has to do with someone's moral or ethical quality. Character and integrity and the difference between them, but this is how I see it. Character refers to the quality of moral and ethical morality and ethics that you possess. But integrity is how you act based on those moral and ethical qualities. Allow me to illustrate. If you had $1,000 in the bank, that would be like your character. You have access to a certain amount of moral and ethical qualities. You got $1,000 in the bank, you have access to that. Integrity is when you go to the bank and make that withdrawal. So you can't have integrity if you don't have character. You can't be a person who does the right thing if you don't have access to the information to understand what the right thing is. And so over the course of this series, we are, all of us in this room, we're going to grow in character. Because we're all going to hear things, and we're going to grow in our understanding of right and wrong. So if you come here week after week and apply absolutely nothing that I talk about, you're still going to grow in your character. You're going to grow in your understanding of right and wrong. And so we want to learn the right things from people who did the right things, and we want to learn how to avoid wrong things from people who did wrong things. If two brothers are in the kitchen at home, and one brother decides to place their hand on an element that mom has just recently turned off, that brother's going to learn a lesson. But how many know that the other brother also learned a lesson, and he didn't have to feel the pain? So which brother would you rather be? You'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes, and so that's what we're going to try and do throughout this series. If you have your Bibles, open to Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to talk about this guy named Joseph this morning. Genesis chapter 37. You know, people throughout history have asked this question, why do bad things happen to good people? You ever had somebody ask you that question? Why do bad things happen to good people? My question is, so what if you find an answer to that? Does it actually change anything? It's just a philosophical question. Even if you found things happen to them. I think that's a better question that we should be asking. Because so what if bad things happen to good people? What are we going to do about it? So let me make it more personable. What are you going to do when bad things happen to you? Have you prepared for it? Have you thought about if this happens to me, this is how I'm going to respond? Fascinating question to ask. Because the reality is that bad things do happen to good people. What matters is, how do we respond when those bad things happen? So have you found Genesis chapter 37? Or are you all just waiting for the verse to come up on the screen? I know. That's all right. Genesis chapter 37 starts like this. Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojourning, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now, Joseph was the son of Jacob, so Jacob comes from Abraham's family. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph is one of Jacob's sons. Now, men, if you're taking notes on character and integrity, we are not going to learn from Jacob's marrying habits. Okay? He had many wives. Don't write that down as a person who has character and integrity. We're going to skip over that. That's a conversation for another day. Verse 3. Now Israel is Jacob. The names are used interchangeably there. Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. Parents, I mean, you all have your favorite children. But character means you got to keep it to yourself, right? Okay. Back to the story. Verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. Have you ever been so angry at somebody, so frustrated, that you couldn't even You couldn't even talk to them. You couldn't even muster up the ability to have a polite conversation with them. That's how mad Joseph's brothers were at him. That's how angry they were with their brother. It says that they couldn't say a kind word to him. So Joseph, he starts having some dreams, and for those of you who know the story, you know this, but I'll talk it through anyways. Joseph starts having some dreams, and he decides to share his dreams with his brothers. He says that they've been out working in the field, and they were tying up their stocks. And he says that, tells his brothers, he says, isn't it interesting? You know, my bundle of grain was actually standing up straight, and all of yours were bowing down to mine. Isn't that a funny dream to have? Now, this is a series on character and integrity, not wisdom. If it was on wisdom, we would say, Joseph, you probably shouldn't share that dream with your brothers. But he does anyways. Then he has another dream not too long later where he decides to share with his brothers again and his father. He says that in this dream, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed down to him. Now, you don't need to be a master interpreter to figure out, because his 11 brothers were there, what this would be referring to. Sun, moon, and 11 stars. All the family is going to bow down and worship the youngest brother, the youngest son. Which sounds great to me, but that's because I'm the youngest. And so I can really relate to Joseph. But he shares this dream with his brothers. And you can already imagine how they might be feeling about him. And so one day, where all of his brothers are out, they are in the town running some errands for Joseph. Jacob asks Joseph, you really shouldn't name your children with the same first letter. It gets confusing. Okay, Jacob asks Joseph to go and see how his other brothers are doing in town. Sends him out. And nowadays, we wouldn't have to do this because we would just send a quick text and, you know, the rest of the story wouldn't be written, but cell phones weren't invented yet. So, Joseph gets sent to go see how his brothers are doing, and we're going to pick up the story from there in verse 18. When they saw him from afar, before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. Reuben said to them, shed no blood, throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, and do not lay your hands on him, that he may rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And when they took him, they threw him into the pit. The pit was empty and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. You know that these brothers have really lack of character and integrity when they can throw their brother into a pit and then pull out a picnic basket. They sat down to eat. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing gum and balm and myrrh, and on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal it? Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. And the Midianite traders passed by. They drew Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. So one brother's trying to be real nice. He says, well, let not his blood be on our hands. Let's sell him into slavery. Wow, this is like a great, like, can anybody have brothers like this growing up? I hope you can't relate to Joseph. Let's be nice. Let's sell him into slavery. That's a better option, right? So Joseph gets sold into slavery. At this point, we don't really know how Joseph's been responding. We don't really get too much insight into how Joseph is responding to this. We don't know if he's speaking up for himself, if he's fighting back, if he tried to run away. We're not told anything. It seems like Joseph just quietly allows whatever happens to him to happen to him. But I think it's pretty safe to say that Joseph did not deserve what he got. We can say that for certain. I mean, he probably wasn't perfect. He probably wasn't the perfect little brother who just never did anything wrong. But we can all probably agree that he doesn't deserve to be sold into slavery. Can I get an amen? He does not deserve what's happening to him. So let's remember the question. What should good people do when bad things happen to them? Well, let's keep reading. Let's pick it up in chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had bought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of this Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in his house and field. So that in all that he had in Joseph's charge, he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Now, I just don't think you could find much more favor in one passage of Scripture. And this man, Joseph, just the favor of God was on him to the point where everybody noticed that anything that this guy touched succeeded. Anything that he would place his hand to prospered. And so, even though he is in the midst of slavery, he is placed in a position of honor. He is placed as an overseer in Potiphar's house. How many times do we read of Joseph being blessed and favored by God just in those few verses? And why is that? Because Joseph was a man of character and integrity. Psalm 7:10 says this, God is my shield, the one who delivers the upright in heart. When you walk in character and in integrity, you can trust God to take care of you. You can trust that God will take care of you. You can trust that God will defend you, and you don't even have to defend yourself when you walk in character and integrity. You know, Joseph had every reason in the natural to fear what slavery was going to look like. But everywhere he went, God was with him. God gave him favor. We can often think that because of our talents we get promoted, but Joseph got promoted here because God's blessing was on him. When you walk in character and integrity, you will see blessings come on your life. See, we often think that if we just get enough skill, if we just develop our natural personality enough, then we're going to get hired, we're going to get the job. You know, if I just get that next degree, I'm going to be able to get that. If I just work a little bit harder. You know what? Talent might get you the job, but character will keep you there. If you lack character, guess what? One day, you're going to get fired. If you lack integrity, you're not going to get that promotion that you're asking for. See, talent only gets us so far, and yet our world puts all of its effort on talent. If a CEO of a company wanted to hire somebody, all the questions that they'd be asking in the interview, they'd be wanting to know what they know about this trade. Well, what do you know about the industry? What's your experience? They want to know how much profit they could bring into the company. They would ask them all about their references to try and figure out what their sales history was like. But could you imagine walking into an interview and the CEO, instead of asking you about all that, started asking you questions about, so tell me, how's your relationship with your spouse going? When was the last time that you were in a public washroom and after you dried your hands with paper towel and you went to throw it in the garbage and it missed the garbage and it fell on the floor? Tell me about a time that happened. What did you do next? Did you go pick it up and put it back in, or did you say, well, somebody else is getting paid to do that, and just walk out the door? Oh, we would think, well, okay, sorry, I don't understand what this has to do with my position here in the company. Why are you asking me these questions? It has everything to do. It has everything to do with everything that you do in life. If you don't walk in character and integrity, see, I would much rather have an honest person working for me than a hotshot who can do a real great job but who lacks integrity. It's way more important to have character than competence. So we want to have all the knowledge, all the skills, character. Character is much, much, much more valuable. I think our world would be a tremendously better place if anyone who is in a position of leadership and influence in our society, if they had integrity. I think our world would look completely different. If all the politicians, if all of the healthcare providers, if instead of making decisions based on profit, if they made it based on right and wrong, our world would be a better place. Even if, don't throw stones at me, even if they didn't know Jesus. If nobody came to know Jesus and yet they grew in their integrity, the world would still be a better place. But there is no real character and integrity outside of Christ. There really isn't. Because when the pressure is on, I mean, character and integrity is who you are when nobody's looking but God. Because there's really never nobody looking. And so, without this realization that God is looking, when nobody's looking, you'll make the wrong decision every now and then. You'll pack the office stapler into your bag and think nothing of it. Print a few extra copies off at the photocopier at work for your Sunday school lesson at the church. Say, well, it's no big deal. Everybody does it. Everybody does it, Pastor Tim. Everybody does it. Oh, great. So are we supposed to just lower our standards to the standards of everybody else around us? Is that what we're supposed to do? Everybody else is doing it, and that's just fantastic. Or are we supposed to come up higher and raise our standard of right and wrong? Somebody's calling. They've got an answer. Jesus said this, Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much. I've heard it said this way, what you do in private, you will one day do in public. It starts shaping who you are as a person. Can't categorize. The little things matter, and they matter to God. Well, let's get back into Joseph. Chapter 39, we'll continue halfway through verse 6. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So notice that when you have character and integrity, God blesses you with good looks. Can I get an amen? Okay, maybe not, maybe not. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Now, this is a woman that is straight to the point. We don't get any sort of story about how what led up to this conversation. We just get thrown into, like, this lady is just direct. Hey, Joseph, you're good looking, I'm good looking, let's sleep together. Let's continue to read verse 8. But he refused. And he said to his master, to his master's wife, I love this reasoning. Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He's put everything that he has in my charge. He's not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph, day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. Joseph absolutely refused to give in, day after day. We don't know how many days this went on for, but I think it was more than two. Day after day after day, this lady saying, come on, Joseph, lie down with me. He's saying, how could I do this great wickedness? I'd be sinning not only against your master, but against God himself. And I wonder how many lies Joseph could have told to himself to start justifying, start thinking, well, you know, maybe this is okay. He could have started thinking, well, you know, I'm not a married man. Joseph wasn't married. He thinks, well, you know, I'm available. Potiphar is clearly not making his wife happy. You know, this isn't a healthy relationship. God would want her to be happy. Ah, there's a good one. How many lies could Joseph have told himself to fall into temptation? But it says he refused. And that's integrity. Have you ever found something that wasn't yours and you tried to justify that maybe God was trying to bless you? I don't know. I don't know if you can relate to Joseph. I don't know if you've been in his shoes, but maybe you've experienced something like it. Maybe you've been in a grocery store, and when you come out back to your house, you realize that there is an extra item in your living room than there was on the receipt that you paid for. You ever told yourself, the blessing of the Lord is on me. This is the favor of God that the pastor's been talking about. You get too much change back at the drive-thru. They gave you two tens that were stuck together instead of one. You just say, praise the Lord. He provides. Amen. He really does. He provides. How many times have we lied to ourselves and blamed it on God? God, you're so good. And all the while, we're just lying. We lack character. We lack integrity. Let me tell on myself. I've been at a restaurant before, and the waitress, when we got our bill, it was just the food. There was no drinks on there. We had, you know, iced teas or Cokes or whatever, and they did not charge us for the drinks. I didn't do anything about it. I thought, well, isn't that nice? I thought, oh, the waitress, like, oh, they're trying to be nice. That's why I didn't pay for those drinks. That was wrong. Because who paid for those drinks? The owner. Somebody paid for it. So the waitress was trying to be nice, or maybe the waitress was lazy, didn't punch it in, or maybe hoping that I'd give, you know, a little bit of a better tip. You know, I help you, you help me. That's stealing. Let's call a spade a spade. That's stealing. I've heard of people who pack Tupperware containers when they go to the all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, if that's not premeditated sin, I don't know what is. Say, well, Pastor Tim, I'm not a big eater, and those places, they charge so much. I've got to get my value out of it. They're going to charge me $30. You know, I only eat about $10 worth of food, so there's lie, 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 lie. Lie, lie, lie. Lie to yourself all you want. It's wrong. Stealing. Well, but as soon as it hits the plate, it's garbage anyways. They're going to throw this out anyways, Pastor Tim, and that's wasteful. And God is not wasteful. So I'm just going to pack this up in my four different size Tupperware containers. Anybody have a Tupperware container in them for lunch after church? That would be really prophetic. That would be quite interesting. Let's get back into the word here. Verse 11. But one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house. Somebody say, uh-oh. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Joseph's a smart man. He just ran this time. Didn't even enter into the conversation. Just get out of there. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled out of her house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, see, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Okay, so she takes the robe, and she sees it as an opportunity to say, well, Joseph came in here, and he tried to take advantage of me. So she calls in the guard. She tells her husband. And you can imagine how happy the husband would have been. Not happy at all. Verse 19, as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, this is the way that your servant treated me, his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. Once again, Joseph is poorly treated for something he did not do. Joseph continually does the right thing. Does the right thing. Walks in character. Walks in integrity. And experiences punishment, misuse, mistreatment continually. He's not necessarily feeling highly favored of God right now. He does the right thing over and over again. And he still gets punished. Let's remember the question. What should good people do when bad things happen to them? All right, so Joseph sent to prison. There he is in prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done in there was the one, sorry, whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. You have to be a pretty outstanding person to be able to have somebody not even pay attention to what you're doing because they just trust you so much. Can you imagine a boss who just says, I'm never going to ask you, I'm never going to check up on you to see how things are, never. I'm never going to have a conversation, I'm never going to have an evaluation or review to see how you're doing, never. Because I trust that you're going to do it anyways. Can you imagine how much integrity it would take for someone to treat you like that? I'm just going to trust you no matter what. That's the kind of favor that God had placed on Joseph. And because he walked in integrity, he continually experienced God's favor in his life. So Joseph spends 2 years in prison as being one who's in charge over the prison area. And then Pharaoh starts having some disturbing dreams. Nobody else could interpret it, so Joseph interprets it for him. And we don't have time to go into all of the story today. I encourage you to read through the story of Joseph this week if you'd like. But Joseph once again experiences promotion. He's taken out of prison. He's given authority right next to Pharaoh himself in Egypt. The place to which he was sold into slavery, he's now put in a high position of authority. He was promoted again and again because of his integrity. I'll ask the worship team to begin to make their way to the front. Time goes by, and the area enters into famine. And so Joseph's family, who's living not too far away, starts hearing that in Egypt you could go and you could buy some grain because some wise decisions Joseph had made, they had been able to save up during the harvest. And so Joseph's family comes, his brothers come to buy some grain from Joseph. They don't recognize Joseph because he's got his Egyptian gear on and time's gone by, so they don't recognize him, but he recognizes his brothers. Now, what would you do? Just think, what would you do to your brothers? Okay, what would you at least be tempted to do to your brothers? These are your brothers. They thought about killing you, settled for selling you into slavery. You'd probably have been, those 2 years in prison, you could have thought of a few things that you might want to do to those brothers if you ever saw them again. But what do good people do when bad things happen to them? This is what we need to learn from Joseph this morning. And I wish I had more time to go into it. Character and integrity means treating others with excellence, even when you have been mistreated. To walk in character and integrity means no matter how poorly someone treats you, you treat them with excellence. Wow. That is so polar opposite to our world. What do we... I mean, almost every great action movie that exists is about getting even. Getting revenge. Within the first 20 minutes, you learn the characters of the movie. Then there's some great conflict. You know, somebody kidnaps your daughter. Somebody comes against your family. Somebody steals from you. And then the entire other hour of the movie is about, you know, getting all your best friends together with the biggest guns that you can find and getting even. We want revenge. We want payback. We want justice. But character and integrity means forgiving others. Treating people with excellence. Absolutely refusing to treat others like they've been treated. And I'll just close by reading some words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. He says this to his disciples. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemies. Sounds like logical advice. Love your neighbors, hate your enemies. Jesus says this, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for them who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? The people who work for Canada Revenue Agency. Even the tax collector, that was the lowest of the low. They treat people like that. Of course you love people who treat you well. What? Who doesn't do that? That's not character. That's not integrity. Integrity is loving somebody who hates you, who can't stand being around you. And you're just so good to them. You're just so nice to them. You pray for them. You pray God to pour out blessings on their life. You ever done that? You ever gotten so angry at somebody and then prayed for them? And not prayed that God would change their heart. Prayed a blessing on their life. God, I pray that you would bless that person who just so badly mistreated me. That's character. That's doing the right thing. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word, which brings us clarity on how we are to live our lives. And God, I ask that you would refresh us by your Holy Spirit, that you would affirm in us an understanding of what it means to do the right thing. Saying no to the wrong and yes to the right and treating others with excellence, no matter what. God, I pray that this would be a reality of our lives, that we would be a people so marked by integrity that no matter where we went, no matter how poorly we were treated, God's favor would be on us because we did the right thing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.